All right, good morning, everybody. You never know when you're thirsty, right? It's good to have a cup of water. All right, so we are going to continue on in our series, and we're working our way through Richard Foster's book, Celebration of Discipline, which is, hopefully you guys have enjoyed it so far. Honestly, it's been around for a long time, but it's incredibly applicable today, and here is the book, if you're just in case you're wondering, and you want to check it out. And I don't want to ask anybody who's bought it, but I hope some of you might have. It honestly, this is a classic, and it is incredibly valuable and such. So we're going to talk this morning a little bit about, we're going to move on to our next discipline, and it's dealing with confession. Oh boy, this will be a fun one this morning. But really, I wanted to start off, honestly, is the idea of, it really deals with sin. And the first thing is, we have to learn how to begin to take sin more seriously. And I think sometimes we kind of miss that in our kind of walk with God. Especially depends on the culture. And it gets diminished, it gets watered down.
Hey, Pastor Chad. Hey, Pastor Chad, good morning.
Sky.
Sorry about that, man. Hey Pastor Chad. Hey, how's it going? Sorry about that.
You know I'm speaking right now, right?
Hey, Pastor Chad. I want to be the first one here to see you speak today.
Oh, well, all right. Well, hey.
Sorry about that.
You know you have a giant pink monkey on your back.
What? What are you talking about?
No, seriously, you got a giant pink monkey on your back.
This is
like a giant.
This is just life, man. I'm just going through life.
You're knocking everything
down.
You're creating all this commotion.
I feel like I do every day. I'm just a normal life for me.
I don't know. Is this normal? I don't know. How you've been living with that pink monkey on your back?
I'm still not totally sure about the reference of the monkey and everything, but. Well, I'm feeling.
It's right here. I mean, it's like literally right there. Yeah. No, careful, cut now. You're gonna crash everything down.
What? How'd that happen? What?
You got a pink monkey on your back, Skyler. This is killing me.
Somebody right. Messing with me.
I'm
over
gonna
here?
Need some help. Ethan Scavo, could you come up here a second? Okay. We're talking about confession this morning. Skyler's having a hard time figuring this one out, right? He's got this, clearly this, and come over here a little bit closer. He's got this huge monkey on his back. Ethan, you can verify he has a huge monkey on his back, right?
Definitely monkey on his back.
Monkey on his back.
I don't know how I feel about these terminologies getting thrown around here.
Okay, well, again, we're talking about confession. So are you beginning to kind of, you got a witness here, me, you're literally in front of the whole crowd here. So they know, they can see it. Are you willing to own that?
Well, if you know what, I might be close to willing. I might be close.
I'm
starting to wonder what's going on here.
Can we at least take the monkey off your back before you destroy anything else up here?
You know what? I have been kind of dragging around something, but it feels normal. But if you think you can make that lighter on me, I might be open to that.
Come over here a little closer. Come over here a little closer. Ethan and I will help you out here. All right, what's fine.
I don't think it's going to change anything here.
Yeah, we got to tangle it here.
Pink monkey on my back.
Tangle it there. Man, this thing's been on here a while. Gosh.
What in the world?
Holy cow.
Whoa. Woo. I feel young again. What'd you guys do back there?
You.
Woo.
Well, it's good. Yes.
Man.
Good thing you took ownership.
Man.
Skyler, thank you.
Well, thank you, man.
Hey, we got one. He's freed from the monkey on his
back.
Oh,
man. Go do some rock climbing.
All right. Ethan, are you thirsty? I brought this, sometimes when you speak a lot, you get really thirsty, right? So I thought, I'll get some water. Ethan's up here, might as well get a drink of water. He's a track guy, they get thirsty, so you're probably thirsty, right? Okay, all right, so get some water here. Cups. Oh, doggone it. Man, I got a big old thing on my shoe here. You ever get new shoes and you just ruin them right away, and there's a thing on the floor. Josiah's mom and his donuts. This kid runs around everywhere, and it's on the floor here. Wait a minute. All right, here we go. All right. There we go. One more time. There you go. Hey, that's... thanks a lot. You know, I mean, come on, could you watch your kids? All right, anyway. All right, Ethan, you want some water?
I'm good, actually.
You sure? What do you mean? It's fine. It's still clear. Everybody, it's still clear and fine, right? You don't want any of this. Yeah, whatever. Party pooper. All right, anyway, you can go down. Just go. All right. Yeah, give him a hand. Hey, a little dirt never hurt anybody. He's got a monkey on his back. Oh, my gosh. Okay, we're having a little bit of fun this morning, but in all seriousness, this is one of those issues. We got things flying up here. You're not going to forget this morning. So, anyway, but really, in all seriousness, this is one of these things, you know, we all kind of walk around with those monkeys on our back, don't we? And there's two things. Whoa, that got really loud really quick. So there's two things that we have. We say the obvious monkey on our back, right? The things that we know we have, but we just try to ignore, and we just live with and deal with. And then there's other things, types of sin, as it were, that even just the little residual sins, the things that we just allow for a little bit of, a little bit here, a little bit there, and we know it doesn't take much. I almost thought about bringing up like a tiny bit of like a rat feces or something and dropping it in that cup of water. Would anybody drink that water? No, not one. It could, just a tiny little bit, it would spoil the whole batch. And that's really what sin, has the potential to do, doesn't it? Now take this in a more serious vein, or more explicitly to Scripture here, is when we're sinning against God, and we're causing kind of this rift between us and God, aren't we? And the best way to explain this, I think, to illustrate this, and it happens in just small, subtle ways. I think about this, you know, Cheyenne and I, we've been married almost 26 years, be this March here, in a few weeks. And I think how easily things can cause harm to our relationship. And if I were to say Cheyenne one day and go, hey, come home one day and say, hey, guess who I ran into today? And she's like, who? Who'd you run into? I said, well, my old girlfriend. Your old girlfriend? Oh, okay, all right, where's that going? Well, you know, hey, yeah, you know, we chatted, we caught up. You know, it was strange. We just kind of picked up where we left off. It was crazy. We went out to dinner. We were holding hands. It was a great time. And we had fun. And then I told her, I said, hey, you know, I'm married now. I can't, you know. So I went on. She's like, that's cool. No problem. And so we left, but hey, we'll stay in touch. And then I went home. And I told Cheyenne about it. Guess what? Nothing big. You know, we held hands. It's not a big deal. And we were chatting a little bit. And I can feel the heat rising in her face, even as we say this. And my daughter's getting weirded out. No, this did not happen. No, this is not a true story. This is not a true story. But imagine if it was. Imagine if it was. The instant divide, even though it was one moment, maybe even nothing innocuous, even having a conversation of there's somehow just kind of this renewed emotional connection. How quickly that would create, just sever or divide that relationship immediately. Despite 26 years of good, faithful marriage, that one moment could do what? Cause a divide. And so how much more for us in our relationship with God? The things that we do in thought, word, and deed, and He knows all. He knows all. And how many times a day, how many times in a month do we cause those small divides between our relationship with God? Now, this morning, by the way, is not to hammer on about sin. But the point is to highlight the fact or the reality of it needs to be dealt with. It needs to be dealt with. And thankfully, we have a God who has conquered it for us. Thankfully, we have a God who's provided the grace and the help and the assistance to help us free us from sin. And so this is incredibly important to do. And this is where confession is essential. Now, this is and where the cross is really the key. As it says here, this is Richard Foster. Without the cross, the discipline of confession would be only a psychologically therapeutic. It involves an objective change in our relationship with God and a subjective change in us. Sin has to be dealt with, and it has been. It was dealt with on the cross, and what it does is we accept Jesus in our heart and say, Lord, I desire to follow you. Forgive me of my sin. And as we begin to do that, something objectively changes between our relationship with God. We are no longer separated from him, but we now have relationship with him. And the amazing thing is now that we're made new, but we know too also as since we're still in these bodies, since we're still in this world, we still what? Struggle. And therefore, he walks us what? He gives us the opportunities to continue to grow and mature in our faith, to begin to remove that sin in our lives that somehow trips us up, even as believers at times. Even though we're new in Christ, we still struggle, we still sin, and therefore, the need for him is so, so important. All right, so this relates here, this is really, really key. Ephesians 4:13, this will continue until we are all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. As we learn to live out this discipline as believers, we'll what? Grow into greater maturity. We'll grow into greater connection and closeness to God as we work on this. This is a process. We know, and most of us know this. It's a process, but part of it is key to our growth and maturity. I remember one time, I don't know if Dad remembers this or not. Where's my dad at? There he's over off to the side. And I was dealing some boy teenage issues, and I came to my dad, and I said, Dad, I'm struggling with this. You know, and I kind of broke down and had a moment. And the greatest thing he said to me says, son, you've become a man today. And that really spoke volumes to me in terms of that. He was affirming the fact that my confession was a sign of maturity. And that is for us too. Our confession coming before the Lord is a sign of maturity. All right. So first of all, Foster deals with this in a both inward and an outward discipline. Okay, so a corporate and an inward discipline. So first of all, we have to know, in 1 Timothy 2:5, it said there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. We don't have to go to anybody else to confess our sins so they can absolve it on our behalf. We can come who? Directly to who? Jesus Christ. And he'll forgive us as we come with a repentant heart and say, Lord, help me. He says, I'm here. And he'll mediate between us and God because of what he did on the cross. But the second part, which relates to the more the corporate part, is what? Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. And that's in James 5:16, and it is such an important part of this. And why is a corporate discipline? Why can't we simply just take care of it on our own? Wouldn't that be easier? Wouldn't that be better in terms of just less embarrassing? We wouldn't have to give out certain details. Just keep it to ourselves. It certainly would appear to be easier. But at the end of the day, we need what? We need each other. We need to help each other in this walk. And the amazing thing is as well that we have other believers in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, we are a priesthood of believers. And that simply means that what? We can pray for one another. We have that capacity to come alongside each other and pray for one another. All right. So, and this is such a powerful thing, and I think this accentuates this point. A man who confesses his sins in the presence of a brother knows, and of course this relates to a sister as well, obviously, in Christ. A man who confesses his sins in the presence of a brother knows that he is no longer alone with himself. He experienced the presence of God and the reality of the other person. As long as I am by myself in confession of my sins, everything remains in the dark. But in the presence of a brother, the sin has to be brought into the light. It's such a powerful statement. Such a powerful statement. And 1 John 1:9 says it this way. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is a promise that we have from God that we need to live out. We need to incorporate. It can't just remain all every time in necessarily kind of our own private world, even though there's times and many times that we do what? Confess to the Lord. In our times of prayer, say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for my shortcomings. Forgive me for my failings. Forgive me for my sin, those things that are holding me back. And we'll experience that, what? Forgiveness and that healing. It does happen privately, absolutely. But there are times that we need one another, okay? All right, so when do we need one another? And I think he makes a great point in the book, and he says this. Simply put, when we feel we have not been released, as we continue to be haunted by our hurts and sorrows, and healing has not come. You following me there? This is Foster again. He says, simply put, when we feel we have not been released, as we continue to be haunted by our hurts and sorrows, and healings have not come. There are times, those private moments, where we're still found ourselves wanting. We're still find ourselves haunted and struggling and just burdened. We have the monkey on our back and it continues to stay for some reason. That might be the time you need to grab a brother and sister in Christ and ask them, could you pray for me? Bring it into the light that is so, so essential. And as we do that, we're experiencing incredible, incredible freedom. All right, so how does this work? What does this look like? So giving a confession. So you're like, okay, Chad, I'll roll with this. Okay, I know this is going to be a stretch. I'm not sure about this. But I'm going to give it a go. So what do I do? So in giving a confession, first of all, Foster tells us, examination of conscience. What is it in your life that might fit that criteria? You find yourself continually, what? Struggling with. Maybe it's a habit or an addiction or just a thought process. Whatever it might be that is just causing you to trip up. I can't do this alone. It's not going away, and I'm asking God for forgiveness, and I know he's there with me, but it's still something that I'm struggling with. So we have to examine our conscience, first of all. What are those things in your own life? And the next thing is sorrow. What does he mean by sorrow? Well, sorrow isn't necessarily a feeling per se, but it's simply a recognition of just the fact that this sin is just not good. It's abhorrent in the sight of God, and it's an abhorrent in my own life. And the best way I could say it this way is say, you know, think of the sin, the things that we do, we know they're just straight up wrong. Then think of the person you look up to the most in your life. Maybe it's a grandparent, a parent, a close friend, or a wise person in your life. And would you want them to know about that thing? And you realize, like, oh my gosh, they knew. They would be so disappointed. They would be so hurt. They would be so sad. They would see that. Well, that's what I'm trying to get at here. Because sometimes we get so desensitized to our own sin and struggles, we don't see it. You know, we feel the pain of it, and we might struggle a little bit. But sometimes we don't feel the full brunt of that particular struggle simply because, what? We've gotten used to it. So hopefully that you begin to experience this kind of this sense of, you know what? This is not good. This is unhealthy. This is something I would not want my closest friends and loved ones to see in my life. I want to be free from that. So that sorrow needs to be there. And the last thing here is this determination to avoid sin. The last thing. So you're essentially going into this. You're confessing it. You're experiencing this sense of, okay, this is completely wrong. This is not something. This is not who I want to be. And I'm determined to walk away from it. And I know this is certainly easier said than done, right? I'll just, the power of the will, and I'm going to make it through. But even then, again, this is where it's so much more important to have somebody come alongside of us. Because once it's in the light, once we've confessed it, brought it out, guess what? We're not alone. We have somebody to walk us through it and to help us make it through. And then success will be much greater. Be much, much, much greater. And those of you who have experienced this, I know I have in my own life, Pastor Matt has shared his struggles and from the past, and how that is what it's life-changing when you bring it up to somebody. It truly, truly is when you confess openly and genuinely. All right, so who do we give to? Or who do we confess to? We'll tell you what, next Sunday, we're going to have a big confessional. Let's dig up the dirt, people. Come on, bring your best stuff. This will be fun. No, we're not going to do that. All right. Unless Pastor Matt feels so led, and I'll let him lead the service, and I will leave the building. Have fun with that. All right, anyway. Nobody will be here. The building will clear out. That'll be the fastest exit of everybody. But who do we share with? Obviously, Foster warns us. He says, not every believer will have sufficient empathy or understanding. Not every believer will have sufficient empathy and understanding. While in theory, we could really technically go to anybody who's a follower of Christ, say, hey, I'm struggling with this. Could you pray with me? And in theory, yes. But not everybody probably is prepared for that. In fact, some might be horrified to the revelation of certain sins. And others, in contrast, some may say, well, that's no big deal. I've done a lot worse. Let me tell you about what I did, right? So some key qualifications, spiritual maturity, wisdom, compassion, good common sense, ability to keep confidence, which is probably one of the key, and then just a wholesome sense of humor, right? Find that person. And honestly, most pastors, I should say, what should be available for that. And there's just a lot of wonderful, God-fearing, Christ-following people in our congregation who would fit this criteria. You could be safe to go to them, and they're going to keep it in confidence, and they're going to listen, which is huge. So how should we respond? So you are the receiver. Dan, I'm going to pour out my heart to you. I'm going to say, Dan, this is all my junk. Are you ready? So he's writing it down. And the whole time he's shaking his head. He says, my, this guy's a dirtbag. Wow. Wow, he's a pastor and he does what? No. But I love this. So how do we respond? This is not up on the slide, but I'm going to read this. This is another quote from Bonhoeffer that Foster uses. And he says, anybody who has once been horrified by the dreadfulness of his own sin that nailed Jesus to the cross will no longer be horrified by even the rankest of sins of a brother. You following me? Once the realization of your own sin hits home, the rankest of sin, the most vile things from your own brother or sister in Christ, you'd be like, amen, brother, sister. I feel it. I've lived it. And it may not be the same thing, right? But you recognize whatever that thing that has separated from God, them from God, that thing that has caused them to what? Struggle and trip them up and caused to drag them down. You've experienced in your own unique way. And you can empathize. So it relates to that first point. Don't be disturbed. Don't go, you know, Dan's like, oh my gosh, really? No way. Oh, yeah, thumbs down. You're just a scumbag. Why did you do that? No, don't act disturbed, right? As it says the next point there, just learn to be quiet. Just listen. Let them share. I know when I've shared things with people, you know, just the fact that they're listening and hearing, they're not like in shock and like, you know, but they're just listening attentively. And they're just giving me I sense that they care about what I'm going through and what I'm struggling with. It's huge. And it just, keep your mouth shut. Because if we begin to speak, what might happen? Because it might be really awkward. Dan's like, this is super awkward. Why is he telling me this right now? And so you might be tempted to speak up to just kind of ease the tension. You know, and start telling, maybe try to sidetrack it or tell a funny quip or story or something just to kind of, kind of ease the room. But that might what? Throttle the whole moment. That person is pouring their heart out, and you begin to kind of quip with some the anecdote or story, or just to try to be nice and to, you know, to not make it such a strange situation, you just be quiet. Just be quiet, because you might take them off the road that God wants them on in that moment. And the last thing here is pray. And I love this point, and it's pretty straightforward, but Foster says it this way. He says, pray to set the cross between yourself and the penitent. What he clarifies that as, essentially, it's just not us, say, empathizing, being sympathetic with that person, which is important. But he's saying, look, our goal is not to just shake, nod our heads and just be kind and stuff. We need to bring what? Jesus into the room. We need to allow him to be there in the midst of that. That's really, really key, because first of all, the first issue could be that potentially you could be drugged down by that situation in the first place. It could be an area of struggle that you can maybe relate to in a different way. And you find yourself, oh gosh. And so you empathize, you know, you're like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, but what happens is you begin to get drawn away, or even feeling own areas of concern or temptation or struggle that's coming up and emerging in you. Like, oh my gosh, man, they struggle with this. I struggle with this too, but I can't say that right now. This is where you need to what? Pray and allow God to come in the midst of that, to intervene, because it's not just you and them. It's you, God, and them making this right. So pray for them, not just counsel them. Oh, you certainly can encourage them and bless them and try to make sure that prayer is key, making Jesus central. And then, of course, pray for healing. Pray for healing. And for many who especially if they're at that point of confessing, it's probably something that's ongoing. They've struggled with for quite some time, probably. Because usually when we come to somebody, it's eventually to the point of like, God, I just can't do this. I need somebody. And so pray for healing. And pray that God, when they leave that room, because the temptation will come again, that God will be with them. And if they trip up again, tell them, it's okay, come back. Let's talk about it again. Let's walk you through it. Let's bring God in the midst of this. You can do this. You can do this. And if we do that, lives can be changed. But you have to give them space to do that, but make sure to pray. All right. It's the last point on this here. And it's our focus point for this morning. This is a great quote from Foster. And he says, the discipline of confession brings an end to pretense. Because sometimes, hopefully you know what that word means. But pretense is this kind of this an illusion of we have it all together. We're kind of austere. We walk into a church, and I didn't mention this was earlier in my notes, but one of the things he points out is sometimes we walk into this building, we think it's a room full of these saints with halos and wings, and we're all just so wonderful. I mean, seriously, I mean, I don't know how many of you think that or thought that. This isn't a room full of saints. We are. It's a room full of sinners. We're sinners. God, we are redeemed by God's grace. We're made new in his image. By the grace of God, we are saints of God, but we are still what? Works in progress. We still struggle with those same sins. Romans 7, Paul talks about his own struggle. He's just striving to do what he knows he needs to do, but he can't do it. Because he sees this war within himself, and this side of heaven, we're all going to struggle. As you walk into this room, don't pretend that we all have it together. We don't. We don't. We all need God's grace. So the discipline of confession brings an end to pretense. God is calling us into being a church that can openly confess its frail humanity and know the forgiving and empowering graces of change. We have to, if we leave space for that in our body, amongst each other, maybe not on a Sunday morning confessional time, But if we have space for that in our men's group, in our women's group, over coffee, whatever it is, counseling session, to meet with Pastor Matt or I or Pastor Skyler, whatever that time may be, we should be that community. Because I get this, to me, this particular discipline, I mean, honestly, it can't be understated. Because if we're to live like Skyler and his monkey on his back and just leave it there, because some of you have literal that on you and you keep it there because it's comfortable, it's normal, you just don't want to deal with it because it's too hard. So you normalize it. We become desensitized to it. And as Skyler was just having fun with it at the beginning, what is it? I don't know. There's nothing going on. But in the meantime, in all reality, in all seriousness, it's causing destruction all around him. And for some of you, that might be you this morning. That thing that's carried on you, it's still there. And you refuse to come own up to it. You do with your in your own heart to God, help me with this, Lord. And he's saying, I need you to go to a fellow believer and talk to them about it. Confess it. Bring it into the light. Because that's where healing is going to come. And I truly believe for some of you this morning, that might be the road you have to take. But let's be a community that's open to that. Let's be a community that's not shocked. Let's be a community that says, you know what? It's okay if you've blown it and you failed it, failed and struggle. But God's grace is there. God's love is there. We can relate. We can understand. We can empathize. We can pray together and move forward in victory. And that, honestly, if we did that on a consistent basis, I think our church would just be, God would be moving. We'd have just amazing altar time as Matt had everybody come up. That time would be exponentially even greater because we won't be what? Hindered by the struggle of our own sin and our own shortcomings from little to big. I really, truly believe that. And God, I think it will change our lives individually and corporately if we do that. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for this altar time that we had, and as Pastor Matt had us come up and people prayed, I'm so grateful that everybody responded. God, and whatever it is you're moving on their hearts, you continue to do. And I just feel this time, this particular discipline just fits incredibly well because you want us, again, to publicly come to one another, whether it be a small group or an individual, to open up and bring that thing that we're struggling with to somebody else in the body to help us walk through and to overcome it. Because sometimes we need others. I say many times we need others to walk alongside us to help defeat those things in our lives that cause us to be separated from you. God, we want to be close to you. We want to be near you. We want to have a good relationship with you. And we are so thankful that we do. We have your grace and we have your mercy. But at times, we need to come to others to help us to be victorious in some things that just have an extra hold. And just bringing them to light, confessing our sins to one another, God, is truly the remedy. For those this morning who this might fit, God, I pray that they would not be afraid to reach out to somebody they know that's wise and a mature believer and somebody they can trust and that they can ask that to pray with them to help them through this time. And so, God, we just pray. We open that door. We give you permission to begin to convict and to move on us today so we can begin to do this, God, because I know amazing things can happen as we begin to kind of loosen ourselves of those things that have been on us for so long. And as we bring people alongside us, we'll find victory in that. So God, we thank you again for this morning. And God, what you're doing in this church body, continue to move, continue to guide and direct us. God, we love you, Lord. We thank you for what you're going to do in future services through this series, Lord. In your name, amen.